Our scripture reading this morning is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. We're taking a 1 week break from Luke, and we're going into the Old Testament, 1 Kings. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 239, very early in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 to 28, which says, "Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, 'My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him to her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning when I got up to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had born.' The other woman said, 'No, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine.' And so they argued before the king. The king said, 'This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead, while this one says, no, your son is dead and mine is alive.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword to the king. He then gave an order, 'Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, 'Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him.' The other said, 'Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two.' Then the king gave his ruling, 'Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother.' When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice." May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading and the proclaiming, the hearing and the preaching of your holy word. This morning, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want to direct our thoughts to 1 Kings chapter 3. The chapter begins with God appearing to Solomon and saying to Solomon, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon asks for a discerning heart to govern your people and a discerning heart to distinguish between right and wrong. And then, and this is where this morning comes into view, and then the Holy Spirit inspires the writer of 1 Kings to relate an example of the moral wisdom that Solomon had been given by God. And the writer of 1 Kings could have used any number of examples. He could have used a financial example because Solomon accomplished great financial things. He could have given a military example because Solomon did marvelous things militarily. He could have given business, justice, any number of examples of wisdom. But God chooses, when the time is Let me demonstrate my gift to Solomon of wisdom. He chose to relate the account that we have before us. He chooses to describe the case dealing with one of the most marginalized groups in that society. And in doing so, we are given an example of the depths which a mother will take to love her child. The case before Solomon was a dispute between two new mothers. And we know from verse 16 that these mothers were not perfect. The first thing we know about these mothers is that they were prostitutes. Now, we need to understand what that meant. Because at that time, during the reign of King David and Solomon and the beginnings of Israel, prostitution was a contemptible but tolerated financial reality. There were, because of the battles that David had won, because of the conditions of building Israel and doing all sorts of things, because of the infighting amongst Absalom and Solomon and the rest of David's children, there were widows who were destitute and had no options. What do you do when you are a woman and you cannot own property? You cannot work for a living. How does society care for you? And the wink and nod that Israel chose was that these women, while contemptible, would be that they would enter into a life of prostitution. They would be cared for by selling their bodies. And that's what they did. It is interesting that of all the tales of God's wisdom being meted out, it is a case of two women that were simply trying to make the best of a bad situation. Being seen by God is not just contingent on living a good life. Affluence is not always a sign of God's blessing, and religious activity is not always the precursor for God's provision. Because when the time was right, these women rose, one woman in particular, rose above her shame and decided to go before the king. She had no right to stand before him. It would have been unreasonable, had God not intervened, that this case be heard at all. There are no witnesses. There are no testimonies. It's just two women who have two conflicting stories. But it is important that we read what is here. Verse 18, the third day after the child born, this woman had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. These are loaded terms. We were alone, meaning we had no family. We had nothing else. We had nowhere to turn. We had no one to go to. There was no one in the house but the two of us. And literally, what it says is there was no stranger in the house. There was no man, unrelated man, if you understand, in the house. There was no one who was going to hear, see, or understand what happened that night. And if God had not intervened, no one would have cared. But the leader of God's people was led to listen to these two women. God calls near mothers in crisis. They get a hearing before the king. But is there really anything he can do to help make their situation better? Second thing we notice is that the case was a tragedy for both mothers. Both these women had babies. Both these women had babies 3 days apart. It's important to note that these babies were sons. Their sons, upon maturity, would be able to own property and care for their mother and take them out of a life of prostitution. Their sons, living or dead, would have been able to inherit property and thereby protect the woman, the mother. Because these babies were someone's son. These babies were often a means, a way out of an awful occupation. And so with the hope of a child, these women would have been elated. Things were turning their way. God was blessing them even in their bad situation. And then one of the babies dies under terrible circumstances. The baby is crushed or suffocated, assumedly by one mother, although we don't know that for sure. Because the one mother says, I was asleep when this happened. So she's not sure what happened. She can only assume. The other baby then is kidnapped. She took my baby. The babies are, it is argued, switched. And the plaintiff, the complaining mother, recognizes upon first light and sight, after 3 days, she says, this is not my son. And the other woman says, yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. And we have to assume that God has brought them there to hear this story. That we would understand that there are people who have no advocate, who have to deal with terrible circumstances and cry out and say, I need justice, I need relief, I need compassion, I need mercy. And after hearing the testimonies of both mothers and knowing that one of them is lying, Solomon calls for a sword. What We know what he's going to do with it, but suspend your imaginations. What is he going to do with a sword? They must have asked. Ultimately, the case was settled through one mother's sacrifice. The verdict that the king gives is unorthodox and shocking. Cut the baby in half. Now, it is unlikely. In fact, we can infer God never would have let that happen. It is a demonstration of the wisdom of Solomon to make that decision knowing what was going to happen. It is similar to Isaac and Abraham. God knows all along what is going to happen. The question is, how do we reveal? How does the plot point turn? In the way that God invokes wisdom, instills wisdom into Solomon, is to say, cut the baby in half. One of you will be satisfied. One of you will be destroyed. But a half a baby is enough. A half a baby shows that someone's child was born to this mother. Someone's birthright was given to this mother, and half a birthright is better than no birthright at all. But the real mother is known by her sacrifice. I would rather he live without me than for me to live without him. She was willing to give the boy away rather than the boy be killed. Now, our problem is that when she says that, she doesn't know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. Her sacrifice is real. She is willing to say, I would rather this child live without me. Now, that's not what happens, but that is the real decision she makes. She did not expect anything else. But Solomon, imbued with the wisdom of God, rewards that sacrifice and awards custody to the real mother. But Solomon does something else as well. He does not judge the other mourning mother. That the consequences are enough. The sadness is enough. That not only is God's wisdom that there is resolution for the one who has been hurt, but there is also an understanding that the circumstances of bad choices don't need to be compounded with retribution. And we are reminded as we read of Solomon's wisdom that nothing on earth compares to a mother's love. That in many ways a mother's love is the reflection of God's perfect love for his children. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That God gave up his Son. This mother was willing to give up her Son, thought that she would have to give up her Son, but God truly gave him up, placed him in the hands of his adversary. He gave up custody so that we would receive comfort and peace. The example of God's wisdom disseminated through Solomon dealt with the plight of the disregarded. And we can praise God this morning that he sees our needs. And he shows no favoritism to the elite, but rather he grants mercy and wisdom to all who seek him. We praise God also that there are in every generation mothers like the one who stood before Solomon, willing to sacrifice their security for the sake of their children. Our sermon in a sentence is this: we are to thank God for his mercy manifested through our mothers. We don't deserve to stand before the king, nor do we deserve to be delivered from the evil we regularly walk in and through and dabble in throughout our days. But God in his mercy bestows on us blessings that we do not deserve. One of those blessings is our moms, who sacrifice themselves and their securities for our sakes. God gives us undeservedly an advocate and an ally, enabling us to see the saving hand of God in the difficulties of life. No, there are no perfect moms. But isn't it good to know that there is someone who will do their best to make sure that you are taken care of? And reflect the goodness of God in the horizontal relationships that we have. Thank God for his mercy manifested through our mothers. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for